Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome to you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I am the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because I believe lesser values than love devolve and slide into the rabbit hole of BS. Now, that's any other iteration of BS as you may know it, but I call it bait and switch. It's a way of maneuvering relationships by baiting in with certain good things, but then we switch to our real agenda, which is a scary way to live life. And it's also a way of codependency, which is what we're going to talk about today, codependency versus love. I'll get to that in a few moments, codependency versus love. But first, we do a few things on the regular here at my broadcast. And that first thing is we share together in saying Love's Creed. So Love's Creed is something I wrote a little over a decade ago as a New Year's resolution. It stuck with me. It stays with me. I've edited it over the years and have it kind of finalized to this. So I'll share that with you in a moment. Shortly after Love's Creed, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. And then we'll get right into the topic du jour of codependency versus love. All right, roll back, Randy. Here's Love's Creed in total. I'll read it, then I'll ask you to repeat after me in a few moments. Just like a bride and groom at a marriage altar, repeat after me. But first, hear it in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Okay, there you have it in total. Now let's go back. I'll ask you to repeat after me phrase by phrase so you can hear yourself. You can hear what truth is in here that may be applicable for you. I hope all of it is. Okay? Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Okay? That resonates with me. Of course, I'm prejudiced toward it. I love that creed. I wrote that creed, but what's more important, I live by this creed. If you'd like a copy of it, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase. And I'd be happy to send it to you, randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'll send it to you with no strings attached. Not going to bug you with a fundraising email or nothing like that. Just a simple request for this. I'll be happy to send it to you. So you've got it at the ready, within reach, in your phone, on your iPad, on your device, in your computer. Maybe you want to just simply write it on a 3x5 card. Okay, now I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. I have shared here a few times that the Lord's Prayer is not as common anymore for people knowing it as it used to be, which is understandable. I'm here to guide you along with things like that, with no shame attached, no blame attached, no how could you or what's wrong with you, none of that. That's not love, because I'm here about love. The Lord's Prayer is something that if you want to just follow along with me and let me share it over you and with you, that's fine. If you know it, it would be great if you could repeat after me. But it's a meditation. It's a contemplation for living life in a secure spot of knowing that there is a higher power. That higher power is loving and providing and caring and forgiving. And then knowing that you've connected to that great, beautiful, wondrous, entrepreneurial, divine spirit that I call God. So here we go, Lord's Prayer. If you know it, join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Ooh, that helps just kind of give my brain a little resting place to start off with daily projects. And in particular for today in my broadcast, this recording on codependency versus love. Codependency versus love. Hi, I'm Randy. I'm a codependent in recovery. I've spent my whole life recognizing or coming to recognize that codependency is gobbling up the quality of my life. And to that end, I have to stay in some form of recovery. I am the spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat out of Amory, Wisconsin. We meet 3 to 4 times a year in a weekend retreat where we do a deep dive in the 12 steps of AA. And we also do a deep dive in family recovery, and we're starting this year with a codependency retreat, so I'm looking forward to that. It's a first go for that. But to that end, as spiritual care director, my addiction isn't drugs or alcohol. Those matters have never had a sway over me. They've not been a poison to my system. Some in AA call it the allergy of substance abuse. I've not fought that battle, and I'm grateful because I relate with hundreds and hundreds of people and have related with thousands of people over my lifetime whose battle with drugs and alcohol is life and death. Their allergy says, once I take one drink, I can't stop. Once I take one drug, I can't stop until I'm completely blacked out. And that, again, is a destructive pattern of life. But with every dependent, now, I want you to hear this carefully. With every person who is dependent on a substance, there is always a codependent somewhere in their life. Now, that codependent may be a spouse, a family member, somebody who is deeply invested in the person fighting dependency with drugs or alcohol. But whatever their role is, they can easily slide into the BS, the bait and switch of codependency, which is fixing, managing, controlling, recruiting, enlisting, convincing, enticing, converting, enrolling, managing, controlling, recruiting, enlisting. You get the drift, right? It's this repetitive, miserable torture of trying to dance with the dependent. Well, then you become a codependent. And whether drugs or alcohol are your poison of choice or your disease of choice or choice or of no choice, you're in a dance. You're dancing with the dependency, and that dance is deadly. That dance is all-consuming. It'll drain your life. It'll suck that joy out of life because you're recruiting, you're convincing, you're managing somebody else. People in a couple of recovery groups, Al-Anon, for those who are fighting in codependency, say, you know you're a codependent when if you're about to die, someone else's life flashes before your eyes. That's a pretty good word picture of what codependency is. You're not living life independent of others in a healthy way. You're living life in a codependency in their battle for life, in their battle with a drug or an alcoholic, a penchant. So codependents then have the quality of their life drained. They lose the sense of self, a sense of your own purpose, and you end up hanging on the telephone, hanging on the text messages, constantly having to run and save or fix, manage, control, recruit, enlist, entice, right? You know the list. That codependent is working on somebody else's life far harder than they're working on their own life. I've known that firsthand. I won't go into all my stories, but I know it firsthand. I know how my quality of life takes a dive when codependency takes over in my behaviors. But now here's what I know is on some of your minds. I know it's been on many minds when I talk to people about managing other people's lives in a codependent way. They say, well, but how about me just loving them? Can I just love somebody and not be codependent? And my answer is simple. Of course you can. But in love, you better recognize the pathway, the white lines of the highway of what love really looks like while you're managing, or at least trying to manage, somebody else in their dependency. So codependency versus love is an essential conversation for anybody, really anybody in any place of life. Because you can be a codependent without being married to or related to somebody with a drug or alcohol disease issue. You can be codependent on your boss who's just a rageaholic or a workaholic. Somebody who's managing you and trying to run your life, and then you find that the only way to make them happy is to submit to their control of your life. Well, then you're in this constant recruit and enlist their kind favor rather than, again, living your own life. Love is being present for yourself, asking yourself at any given time, what's my highest priority right now? Love doesn't ask, oh my gosh, the identifiable dependent person has shown up at my door or on my phone and I've got to run, fix, manage, control. That's codependency. But love says, hold on a second. What's most important in my life right now? What are my priorities in this moment? What is my need for self-sustaining love for myself? Jesus said you to love your neighbor as yourself, which means there better be some healthy self-love cooking on the inside of you. Love is being present, present in the moment, present for yourself, and being able to look at a person who's demanding your rescue. They're demanding you run to their latest hot mess. They've set a dumpster on fire, and they've said, come help me put out the dumpster fire. You've got to ask yourself, when I'm in my moment and I get that panicked request, be present. To love somebody who is dependent, who is an alcoholic or drug addict, to love them isn't to run to every chaotic moment, but it is for you to be present and to be stable. So love means being present. It means being respectful. When you're called upon to run, fix, manage, control somebody, be respectful. Be respectful. You don't have to diminish them. You don't have to scold them. You certainly mustn't shame them, because people battling drugs, alcohol, and other addictions, their shame-o-meter is off the charts. They are fighting not just the battle of a drug or alcohol. They're fighting their self-loathing, the shame of failure, the shame of having face planted one more time in their addiction. So don't shame people, but be respectful. Say something like, I'm hurting for you. I am so deeply, deeply affected by your pain, but I need you to understand that I can't leave my present priorities right now. I'm so caught in my own needs that I'm sorry, but I can't run to help you right now. Is there anybody else in your life? Is there someone else you can call upon? Maybe you just urge them. Are you ready for treatment now? Maybe you should call a treatment center. Have a few treatment center phone numbers at the ready so you can give them that number again. Because I know that's the case. Or maybe you simply just point them to an AA meeting or point them to Spiritual Program Retreat. Randy Dean is the spiritual care director. That would be me. Give them my contact information. I'd be happy to make sure that they get spiritual connections, to see to it that their addictive, destructive path is addressed in some helpful manner. But my point is, in being respectful, you're also starting with self-respect, not throwing away a day or a week or a month because somebody else set that dumpster on fire. Making sure that you're present and respectful, even when somebody else is lobbing fierce skyrockets in the air, help, and you recognize that, boy, here we go again, and if I answer that call, there goes the next day or two or the next week. Be respectful and respect yourself as well as the other person. That's love. Love is joyous. Love doesn't have to surrender any moment of happiness to run to to somebody else's unhappiness. Love protects its own joys. So if you've set aside a day for having a hobby, a priority that brings you pleasure and simplicity in terms of a nature walk, or taking your dog out for a walk, or maybe you're going to go golf, or maybe you just simply want to be home and read a book, or whatever the case may be, if you've set a priority for yourself, respect your own priorities. Live joyously. Because if you're ever going to help somebody in their dependency, you can't help them as a codependent, because now two of you are in a you're in a fire hole. You've jumped into the dumpster fire. So don't jump into the dumpster fire. Stay joyous. Stay connected to your priorities. Set up an appointment with the person that's demanding your attention. Usually when somebody is falling into the deep pit of drugs or alcohol, they don't want to make an appointment. They need you right now. But if that's the case, you manage love for them and for yourself by sustaining your joy. And love is free. Love maintains a freedom for yourself and a freedom for the other person. Yes, the freedom for them to fail, the freedom for them to fall, the freedom for them to faceplant if for the 10th time in the past year this person is absolutely desperate for you to come rescue. The freedom that you need for yourself is the freedom to manage their life only by letting them fail. Now, if there's some kind of legal matter that they're struggling with, maybe they're in their car and they're driving along and they're saying, I'm stoned, I'm drunk, I can barely function, I need your help, come and get me. Well, you don't have to run, go get them, because your number isn't 911. Remember that. I've had to tell a few people, oh, you got the wrong number. You need to call 911. I'm not a police officer. I'm not a probation officer. I'm not in this to fix, manage, control, recruit, entice, enroll you. No. I'm here to be an ear for you. But if you're breaking the law right now, I need to know where you're at so I can report that to the authorities. Because if somebody's drunk or they're stoned and they're driving and they're calling you, last thing you need to do is go run and rescue them. Trust me on this one. I've had firsthand experience in pretending that my codependency was love. One vivid story leaps out in my mind in that I had a man in my church, my goodness, back in the 80s, 1980s, and the poor gentleman was fighting alcoholism. And his wife would call me and say, he's running out in the yard, he's got the car keys, he's going to drive, and he's so drunk he can hardly walk. Well, this was before I had good handles on my codependency and knew that I needed recovery, and it was before I had definitions like I'm giving you right now. So I'd jump in my car, and I'd run over to their house, and I would catch him before he'd leave the driveway, and I'd park my car at the end of the driveway so he couldn't get out. Well, one time he was in his car and he was determined he was going to get around my car. Well, in my genius, which wasn't genius, my codependency, this was the day when you could open a car engine hood from the outside, and I popped that engine hood open and I grabbed the electric coil, I forget what they call it, but anyway, the coil that runs to the spark plugs, and I grabbed that coil and unplugged the engine. Well, I gave myself a literal shock from that engine coil because the engine was running, and of course electricity's running through that thing, and I grabbed that coil, popped it off. Of course, the engine stopped, but I dropped onto the floor, on the ground, because it gave me quite a jolt. Here's my point. I hope you get my point. That's codependency. And codependency will knock you on your butt when you're trying to be a hero, when you're trying to pretend that you can fix, manage, control, entice, and run somebody else's life when you can hardly even manage your own life. I wasn't managing my life well at the time at all. And fortunately, it wasn't much longer, many days after that, that I did get some help from a drug and alcohol treatment center where I enrolled this gentleman one more time. And they in that center recognized, hey, you're a codependent with this guy. He's dancing you right off the cliff. And they enrolled me in the treatment center there. Now, my point for you is, know the difference between codependency and love. For me, if I had that event to repeat over again, my call would have been to the local police. It was a small town, and I knew the police department well. I could have called somebody by name and said, hey, you got to run over to so-and-so's house. The guy's stone-cold drunk, and he's getting in his car. Can you get over there as quick as you can? That would have been the truest loving recourse. You say, well, that's not love. That's calling the cops. No, 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 no. Hear me. Love says when you're self-destructive and potentially harmful to other people, my love says I will stop you by legitimate means. I will call the police. I will call your sponsor. I will call somebody nearby who has the authority to put a stop to your destructive behavior. Love says, I will do the right thing the right way every time. I will not do the wrong thing just to give myself a pat on the back that I was heroic. When I was laying on the ground, having been shocked right down to my toes, I did not feel heroic. I felt completely stupid. So I would encourage you to join me in the pursuit of love and relieve yourself of the pursuit of codependency. All right? Okay. So, codependency is slavery. Remember that. You're living to fix, manage, control, recruit, enlist, convince, entice, convert, and enroll. It's an exhausting path, ladies and gentlemen. However, love is being present. Love is being respectful. Love is joyous and free. Here's what I say about love. It is a long walk in the right direction. And when you're walking in love, you'll be gaining energy with every step. When you're walking in codependency, you'll feel like you can hardly take another step because you're exhausted. In love, we regenerate our energy. In codependency, we deplete our energy exponentially. Remove yourself from that frightening path and become a person of genuine pursuit of love. Well, let me bring this to a close with a few things that we do regularly to tie this off. You know, put the bow on this beautiful package on this day of talking about love versus codependency. And let me share with you a couple of things that mean the world to me. First of all, it's breathing well. On the count of three, if you're a lover, you're breathing well. If you're codependent, you're taking short breaths. So let's take a good long breath. On the count of three, get your feet flat on the floor, hold your head up straight, and inhale deeply. One, two, 3. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. That's a good cleansing, stabilizing physical exercise. Do that for yourself every day. 2 or 3 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, whatever time you have. That goes back to what I was talking about in taking care of yourself. To be present. Being present means you're breathing in a rhythmic, healthy way. Second thing I like to do is I want to tell you how to make sure that love is your creed. Not just by saying a creed, but by practicing this little practice I say by telling people, look someone in the eyes, slow down these three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language, and say with intention, I love you. It's weird. It's awkward. You'll stumble a few times when you do it, and even after you've done it a while, you'll stumble. Because it requires some level of intimacy. Now, I know people get all fidgety and try to look the other way, and that's okay. You got to understand their own being unacquainted with what you're trying to do. But do it for your sake as well as the other person. Some people haven't heard those three words in days. So give them the pleasure, the joy of hearing your love. All right, remember this, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time. So be present. Yeah, that goes back to love. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. I don't know who wrote that quote, but I live by it. Be present, be kind, love more, love now, because you don't know that you have more time. Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now, I'm not Mother Teresa, but I'm Bishop Randy, and I like to say this, go out there and do something beautiful, people. Ugly, hoo-yooey, ugly's getting done to death. It's time for the people of beauty to rise and shine and let the world see that beauty outpaces ugly every day. Get out of the tribalism. Get out of the me versus you rat race that we're living in here in the United States. Stop damning others, and in so doing, you're damning yourself. Live above the raucous and live for love alone. Because one thing I know about love, it's beautiful. All right, it's been a pleasure to be with you again on today's episode of the No BS Bishop. My email address is randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all one word, all lowercase @gmail. If you got questions, you got propositions for a program you'd like for me to address, or if you just want to say, hey, Randy, that was an awesome radio broadcast. I enjoyed it. I'd love to hear from you. Now, hear me when I say three charmed, holy, life-changing words. Look me right in the eye. I love you. God bless you, and happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.